Just to orient us a little bit about this story, about this particular parable that Jesus tells us. He tells us that this king had many servants, and this one particular servant owed him 10,000 talents. Well, in that day, a laborer, an average slave, someone who just simply worked for the king, one talent would take him 15 years to raise. He would have to work for 15 years to accumulate one talent. He owed 10,000. There was no way that this man was ever going to repay the debt he owed to that king. He would have to have generation after generation after generation of his family in servitude for that debt, the enormity of that debt, to be reconciled with the king and the king's children. The king, when he hears the man plead, excuses that whole debt. Can you imagine the burden of that debt upon your shoulders and knowing that your family will owe that debt being released? Can you imagine how that man must have felt the freedom? He must have breathed for the first time. He must have thought about the things that he could now do because he no longer owed the king the lives of his future generations. Yet the first thing he does, the very first thing he does, is meet a fellow slave who owes him money. Now a denarii is about a day's wage. This man owed 100 denarii. He could pay it. It was a debt that at some point could probably be paid. Now the slave, with all that new sense of freedom and removal of his own debt, what does he do? You'd think he would do the same, don't you? Instead, he throws him in jail because he won't pay his debt. That his fellow slave says the same words to him that he had just said to the king, and yet he doesn't excuse the debt. He throws him in jail. Remember that last verse, if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart, God will throw you in the same kind of pit that first servant gets thrown, because the man's heart is never changed. In that moment of grace, in that moment of forgiveness, his heart is not changed. Which gets us to the heart of forgiveness. When Christ asks us to forgive, he simply asks us to forgive. Not so that it will be received, but so that we are freed from the sin of unforgiveness. There was a rabbi who told a story about a woman that was in his congregation, a woman who was a single parent, who had young children, and who had an absent father. So the woman continually came and visited the rabbi and shared her grief and her pain and her loss, and if only he had done this, and if only he would do this, and if only he would do that. And the rabbi says to her, "I wish you would forgive him." And she looked at him and said, "What? You want me to forgive this absentee father?" He said, "I'm not saying what he has done is right. But what I am saying is I wish he was as emotionally absent from your life as he is physically. As you choose to hold on to the pain and suffering he has caused you, he continues to hold you captive. When we choose not to forgive, we are held captive by the one that we need to forgive. It does not mean that we need to go up and be back in harm's way with the one who may have harmed us. But it does mean that the emotional harm they are still doing when we choose not to forgive is gone. I don't know how many times I have watched the news of late when we've seen these horrendous crimes, and the parents of the victims or the victim themselves forgives the one who caused the pain. Because the forgiveness frees the one who was harmed as much as it frees the one who did the harm. But Christ is only concerned about our hearts, that our hearts be free of any unforgiveness and bitterness, because that separates us from our love of God. Because unforgiveness leads to judgment. We begin to judge our brothers and sisters based on the pain and suffering that we have, or based on the circumstances involved and around them. Desmond Tutu talked about apartheid, and we know the crimes that the apartheid caused South Africa. When apartheid collapsed, they had a choice. They could have suddenly the oppressed become the oppressor and put judgment upon those who had oppressed them for centuries. But Desmond Tutu had a different idea. He had an idea about peace and reconciliation, and he brought the oppressed and the oppressor together, not in large groups, but in small groups, people who had been harmed by the one, and the ones who did the harm. And they began to share, one sharing their pain and one sharing their repentance for the pain and suffering they had caused. And in the end, peace and reconciliation began to happen. Because as long as we separate ourselves with unforgiveness and bitterness, we judge the ones that are on the other side of the street. We are called to forgive. Which made me think about the Lord's table. And we are about to receive at this table and remember that night. And I think the thing that always strikes me about that night is there at the table, sitting on his left, was Judas. And on his right was Peter. Peter, who he knew would betray him. And Judas, who he sent out to betray him. And Peter, who he knew would deny him. There, got that one straight. He gave them all the bread of life. He gave them all the cup of salvation. He forgave Judas and forgave Peter before they even acted. He forgave you and I before we even sinned. So how many times are we asked to forgive? 77 times. And in that day, that was a huge number. We would have to say infinity here today to understand the impact of that number in that culture. We are asked to forgive and forgive and forgive. We are asked to not let unforgiveness separate us from God or from one another. This morning, as we were preparing for early worship, we were all standing outside the doors and waiting for the last of us to come in. And the day was a beautiful morning, and the air was crisp and cool, and we were drinking our coffee, and we talked about the church, and we talked about forgiveness, and we talked about how churches divide because of unforgiveness, how God's church is broken because we won't communicate with each other when we are hurt and need to be reconciled. That we judge one another based on all sorts of criteria that each of us individually has. And either some are found wanting or we want to be like. We know who is quarreling amongst us. We know who is at peace amongst us. But what Christ calls us to is to reconcile to one another. And if we can do that here, brothers and sisters, if we can do that here, won't we be a shining example to our community about God's love and forgiveness for one another. If we waste our time making judgments or being angry and bitter and unforgiving, are we breaking God's heart? The King, God, forgave a debt beyond the ability to repay. Christ paid our debt in a way we can never repay. And all they ask of us is to forgive. And we know the places in the world we wonder how that can ever happen. But if it can't happen here first in our hearts, it never will happen. So this table is the table of reconciliation and love. And the most amazing thing about this table is we don't have to come sinless. We can seek God's mercy and reconciliation here at this table. We don't have to say, but I am not worthy, because there's not a one of us who is. But Christ says every single one of us is worthy. Worthy of his life on the cross. And if he can forgive those who condemned him to death, can't we forgive our neighbor or our family member or our friend or that one down the street who might have hurt us? Christ calls us to forgive from our heart. But the hardest one I'm going to ask you to do is to forgive yourself. How often do you forgive everyone else around you, but choose not to forgive yourself? How many things do you hold on to that you think you should have done, would have done, could have done, and don't let go? Christ calls you to even forgive yourself from the heart and be free of that burden that you will carry into your death if you do not. So the invitation normally begins with a call to confession. And as I prepare the table, take this time in silence to confess your sins to God and know that God has already forgiven them. And as we move forward, I'll tell you when to turn in your hymnals to page 15. So spend some time in silence with the Lord.